2 weeks ago, I came to my Sabbath school class and no one was there because so many are gone. And I had been thinking, since we had been studying in Sabbath school class about the robe of Christ's righteousness, about the place of dress, but I didn't want to speak in front of the church and give my ideas, so I spent an hour with my Bible in the Sabbath school room and was surprised at all I found. Dress and relationships. Is there any connection, do you think, between the way we dress and our relationships with each other? Does anybody see anything? Okay. Dress and relationships. Adam and Eve first wore nothing. Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, their focus must have been on something else beside each other, except they were clothed in robes of light. When they rejected God's leadership, did their relationship with God change? Did it affect their dress? But they chose their own way. Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. So the change in their relationship made a change in the way they dressed. Were the fig leaves enough? They needed more than leaves. Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. We all know how something had to give its life for the first clothes that God gave them. And since then, what has happened? Fashion. Different ways that we dress, different cultures of dress. And since then, a lot has happened. If you look on the internet today, I think you'll have a harder time finding what's current than you did 15 years ago. Because now there is such a, may I use the word, plethora of different dress throughout our society. We try to outdo each other in the way we dress. Does that affect relationships? Oh, she's dressing better than me. I better step it up. You have ever noticed that when I'm preaching, I dress differently than when I sit in the pew? Okay. If you've noticed that, which I'm assuming some of you have, maybe by the time we're done with the sermon, you'll have an idea of why. Although I'm not going to talk about myself today. We try to outdo each other. We try to keep in style. Even though there's all kinds of different dress, there still is a certain style. I teach in public school. What do you think is in style for blue jeans? Down. For you guys, the blue jeans many times are down well below their waist. In girls, I wonder how they get into some of them. I'm sure they have an easy way. It would be a little difficult for me. But we want to keep in style. When you go to school, you don't want to look that weird, do you? But our religion becomes culture. You ever notice that? I saw that when I was in college. When I was in college in the 70s, skirts were getting shorter. Hair was getting longer. And as skirts got shorter on ladies, and as hair got longer on men, as these things happened, there were a lot of people that said, this is sinful. In fact, my first year in college, the dean of student affairs stood up from the front and he said, I'm going to read you a text from Bible and I'm going to share with you why it's a sin for you guys to have your hair over your ears. That was at a Seventh Adventist college. He explained to us why it was a sin. Now, if you were those of us sitting in the audience, we didn't listen too well to that. We didn't accept it. And since that time, as I became a pastor and a teacher, it began to dawn on me. For many people, the culture we have right now, as it changes, many times the culture becomes our religion. And as it changes, people are focusing on battering against our religion. I met a man one time, he was a pastor. He went over to Indonesia. As they were driving their car to the first church in Indonesia, he looked over. There was a lady hanging up her clothes. She wasn't wearing a top. The pastor told me, he said, I turned to my friend and I said, who is this lady? And he said, oh, she's our head deaconess. Does culture have anything to do with the way we dress? Now, for many of us, we'd make sure we got some top on that lady. Because our culture does not accept that, not just in a Seventh-day Adventist, but throughout the whole society. You could be arrested for that, even if you aren't a Seventh-day Adventist. But cultures are different. And oftentimes, our culture in dress becomes our religion. And that's what happened to the Amish. Culture changed, but their culture became their religion. And this happens all the time, and it may be happening to some of us sitting here. Can you see that? But Samuel 16:7, why is dress so important? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. For man what? You're familiar with this text. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. We're more concerned with the outward appearance oftentimes than we are what's on our heart. So, as I was studying my Bible and trying to see what it was saying about dress, I found some things. James 2:2-4. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, of course, the gold ring not in the Adventist church, I'm afraid. And there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Does oftentimes dress affect the way we look at people? If somebody comes in here in a $500 suit, will many of us treat him different than a bum who walks off the street with a hat and has no belt and hardly any shoes or ripped shoes? I hope not. But I'm going to tell you, as much as the time as I've spent with the Lord, I can tell you my first reaction is going to be, I can tell you what it's going to be. I have to try to overcome that. Do you? You become judges with evil motives. Is clothing important in our relationship with people? What does Jesus say? Should it be important in who we treat and the way we treat people? Jesus is saying through James that clothing is not the important thing the way we should look at people. We should care about everybody, no matter how they dress. And what? Read it. The Lord looks at the heart. We're told in 1 Peter 3:3-4, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. And it's interesting, it says, be not merely external. wearing gold jewelry is not condemning it, is it? Even though oftentimes we condemn it. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but my wife is not an Adventist, and she dresses, she wears jewelry, she works in a salon, so she has to keep her dress up to date. And as she was leaving this morning, I looked at her and winked and said, I should take a picture of you and show it up on the screen the way a lady ought to dress. Because you'll see as we look into the Bible that there are certain things we should be doing in the way that we dress. But what does it say here we need? What should our dress be? A gentle and quiet spirit. 1 Peter 5:5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and all of you. Clothe yourself with what? Say it. Humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we could spend a whole sermon thinking about that one word, humility. Humility. Put it on and make that be. If you're concerned about clothing, what's a word you should be concerned with? What's a word? If clothing is a big deal in your life, what's the word? Humility. Isaiah 52, 1 through 2. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in what? Clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Clothe yourself in what? So if you're interested in clothing, humility, strength, the Bible says. Timothy 2, 9 through 10. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves properly, clothing modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of what? Good works, as it is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Now, this is a text that some of you might have a problem with. Because who is it speaking to? Men or women? It's speaking to women. And girls, I want you to pay attention and listen to this. Girls, could you look up here for a minute? Okay, I want you to hear this. Okay, because I'm going to speak directly to you. If you, as you get older, if you wear less and less clothes and expose more and more yourself, are guys going to be interested in you? Are guys going to be interested in you? You want to answer the question for them? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys will be looking at you a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of women that like that. When I was in college, I dated this beautiful blonde. I dated her quite a while, and she dressed really seductively. When I walked with her, everybody was looking at the girl I was with. Now, some men get jealous by that. That never bothered me, because I always wanted to be with a woman that others were looking at. But one day, I sat down with her. We were at a quiet place, and I said, I want to talk to you about something. She said, about what? I said, do you know that the way you dress... do you know how it attracts guys? You know why guys are looking at you? I'll ask you the question I ask her. Girls, do you want guys to like you because they like you and have a relationship with you? Or do you want them to just use you? What do you want? You want guys to be attracted to your personality? You want guys to to be a friend of yours? Or do you want men to be attracted to what they see only? So I told this young lady I was sitting with, I said, you know, if you dressed a little differently, guys would still look at you. But if you date somebody, there's more of a chance that they'll become your friend and not just use you. Can you see that? Women, unfortunately, don't realize a lot of things, especially young women. In the high school I'm at particularly, they're wanting relationships, they're wanting friendship, but they keep running into guys that are just out there to use them. When I told this young lady that, the next day she changed the way she was dressing. She still dressed really good, but she changed it. And that was several months later, we were married. And I'll always remember that, though. I'll remember those feelings of somebody that says, hey, I am interested in attracting friends. I'm not just interested in attracting those who would use something from me and then leave. Women, adorn yourself with proper clothing. Does this have anything to do with relationships? I see it as one of the strongest texts encouraging women to develop relationships. And now, don't worry about the costly stuff you're wearing. Be more concerned with what's on the inside. Okay, so how should we be clothed? Number one, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. That was our first text. Next, with what? Next. Next. By means of good works. And you know, we're just scratching the surface of what the Bible says. If you're interested in clothing, you might want to stop for just a minute and think, hey, when the Bible says we should clothe ourselves in these, maybe we ought to consider it some more. Maybe we ought to think about more about how we're dressing on the inside. Matthew 6, 25 through 29. Jesus said, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you eat, what you drink, nor for your body or what? As to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you what? Jesus said, why are you worried about clothing? Observe now the lilies of the field. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Did Jesus say we should be concerned about what we wear? Can you see it on the screen? I'm going to ask you again. Did Jesus say we should be concerned about what we're wearing? He asked the question, why are you worried about your clothing? How did the greatest preacher dress? I heard once there was a great preacher in the United States dressed in $1,000 clothes. He had a big watch on his hand. It was a Rolex worth thousands of dollars, as he stood up and asked people to send in their last dollar to his ministry. How did the greatest preacher dress? John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judah was going out to him and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River. Confessing their sins, John was what? Clothed with and wore a leather belt about his waist, and his diet was locusts and honey. He wore camel's hair. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. How did the greatest pastor that ever lived dress? Very simply. Without much ostentation, he dressed. What was important? Him or his message? That should be easy to answer. Why are we here? Why are we here as a church? You want to read it? You're familiar with it. Why are we here? Go therefore, Jesus said, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are here to win other people to Jesus, right? Isn't that the purpose of the church? Isn't that why we meet here? To empower ourselves? I worked in a school in New Mexico. The pastor, there was a student with a school with about 200 kids. And when he walked around campus, he wore blue jeans and a t-shirt. And one of the conference officials came down and said, We hear that you wear blue jeans. He said, Yes, I do. And he looked at him and he said, If you walked into the presence of Ronald Reagan, who was president at the time, he said, If you walked into Ronald Reagan's office, would you wear blue jeans? You know what he said? He said, Yeah, if he was my best friend. Yeah, if he was my best friend. He explained how he's trying to reach out to young people, and he did not want his dress to interfere. He didn't want to dress in such a way that put him above the students. He didn't want to dress in a way that made him below the students. Hey, when you dress as a Christian, should your dress be a factor? First Corinthians 9:19-23. For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all, that I may what? Win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, those not being under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law. Though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became what? That I might what? Win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. He's doing all things for what? To what? To win people. If I walk into a group of people, I don't want my dress to be an issue. Do you? I don't want my dress to be the focus. As culture changes, what should I do? I should change with the culture. Because as the culture changes, if I get left behind, suddenly my dress becomes an issue. And as long as my dress is becoming an issue, how can I focus on Christ and not me? Can you see that? Our clothing should not stand out. We should not be a person that goes to work and our clothing becomes an issue. What's going to pass away? the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You know what I think? I think we need a closer relationship with Jesus. I think we need to hear his voice more. I think he may tell us that we better dress a certain way in a certain situation, and we better listen. Because we are here to reach out to others, to win others, and not to build ourselves up. Do you agree? The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. John 2:15, do not what? Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. And you, James 4:14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are what? Just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We have a short time, don't we? What's our main focus? Jesus. If our focus is Jesus, if we want to do something for Jesus, who do we do it for? The least? Jesus said, you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. You've what? You've done it unto me. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which also easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What? Please say it louder. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, please help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Please fill our lives. May dress never be a concern for any of us except as it furthers bringing others to you. Father, fill our hearts with your love and understanding. We pray these things in your name. Amen.